Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 746 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is Saturday, not Sunday, August 12th, 2023. We're doing a little bit of an early podcast for reasons that we will get into. Pete Chin on the podcast today, helping me man the fort. Pete, thank you for getting on early.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. No problem. It's 10 p.m. in the UK today.
Okay.
Good to be here. Nice to be here. I'm a bit tired, but it's what time is it where you are now? 12.
It is 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, man. You jammy sod.
Well, you know, I wasn't sure you were going to make it. I was trying to accommodate Kim because she thought she was going to maybe be able to make it, but it was going to be a little later. And I brainstormed this all like last night. So, you know, I appreciate you making the podcast. We're going to probably have a bit of a shorter show today. We'll kind of run through some stuff. I wanted to get this out because I won't be available tomorrow. And apparently Robin is off doing everything. I've seen singing and dancing. I've seen boating. I fully expect to see him in a bowling alley any day now. All the things that you would expect him to be doing over in Italy. Where is he at? I forget where he's at.
Yeah, he is. He's in Italy. Those desserts, they look really wacky.
Those desserts. Oh, man. I was not necessarily down with those desserts. And for those that are curious, Robin shared a picture from his eating. And honestly, they're not going to be bowling because that's not really an Italy thing. Although bocce ball, I think, is a thing. But no, eating. Robin's going to do a lot of eating. Eating and drinking. And he shared these desserts with us. And they kind of looked a little bit like morning dessert, like donuts.
Do you know that American show, Is It Cake?
Yes.
It kind of reminded me of that. Was it just like a toy cake? It just looked too perfect to be a dessert, if you know what I'm saying. It just looked like a toy.
It looked like perfect, but also the colors were really vibrant to the point where I don't know about how that's going to taste.
Or come out.
That's true. At some point, you have to figure those colors have to go somewhere. You don't just digest colors of food. So,
he's going to come back with blue eyes or something and green teeth.
I was thinking he was going to come back with something else that was blue. But yeah. All right. If you are listening to this podcast, you're trying to figure out what the hell are these guys talking about? What is this? We are a video game podcast. We cater to what I like to think is an older, wiser audience. We normally do this on Sundays. Normally, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. in the Central Time Zone. But today, because we're doing it a little bit different, it's an early show. We're on Saturday. We will have an audio feed version of this created, and we'll put that out for everybody, so you'll get that. We're on Twitch. We're on YouTube. So come subscribe, like. Hopefully you enjoy this show. Hopefully you enjoy all of our shows. Come participate. Hang out. Have fun. Again, normally you'll be able to come on and see us at a normal time. But today we're doing it a little bit early. We definitely appreciate everybody that does come out and hang out on a normal basis. I think we're probably throwing people for a big loop right now by being on early. Pete, what's your feeling? Saturday show.
Everybody's either, well, they're either going to be watching the game, they're going to be watching a film, they're going to be just chilling, I think. They're not here on Twitch, So I'm only assuming that they're doing those other things. We've got the World Cup going on at the moment, haven't we, as well? So that might That's be true. Distracting some folk.
But That's true.
I'm sure everybody will pick up the audio recording afterwards.
And if nothing else, it's just, again, a therapy session for you and I.
Of course it is. Of course it is. I am tired. It is 10 o'clock, but, you know, it's nice to be here.
Yeah, and I just realized my son has actually camped outside of my door now. So for those listening on the audio feed, you may hear very strange noises. That is 100% my son doing things and or me passing gas. One of the two. All right. We'll get into all that. Let's talk some story time. We'll do it right now. No birthdays unless I miss something, but I don't have any birthdays to report. So
no birthdays.
I think we should just talk about stories.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
All right, so story time. Pete, are you a fan of like vitamins? Do you do like multivitamins and supplements, anything like that?
No, because I don't know what it will do to my stomach. As you know, I've got ulcerative colitis, and anything that messes around and goes through the stomach area, I just don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to delve too much in experimenting because it can knock me about. Vitamins, I don't have them. Are you a big believer of them?
I do. I do take, my vitamins. I like to have kind of a regimen. The one thing I did, I fell into, I call it the trap. You know, you see stuff on TV, you see stuff on YouTube, on the internets. And there's been this big craze or push. It's not really a craze. Let me rephrase that. It's not a craze, but there's been a push on the supplement side of it to be like, here's supplements for vegetables and fruits. And I am not a big vegetable fruit person. I eat salads. I have no problem with that. I like asparagus. I can do broccoli, but I don't eat them nearly as probably often as I should. And okay. So I was kind of like, well, okay, maybe. I subscribe up, get some of these supplements that are geared specifically about giving you the vitamins and stuff that you would get from your vegetable intake, your daily vegetable intake. Well, unintended and unwanted side effect is they make you really gassy. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I'm just like, holy crap.
Well,
literally.
Vegetables do that as well, if you eat cabbage and runner beans, lots of other greens, cauliflower even sometimes makes you gassy.
Yeah.
It does. It just.
Yeah. Think super concentrated little capsules, and they're telling me take, two of each per day. That's four capsules. And I'm like, just one each has me. Just like I'm just walking down the hall, just farting. So, I don't foresee these being a ongoing supplement. I think they will be a one and done. But yeah,
that's funny.
All right. So you have been working on your boat.
Yes, I've been there a lot this week. To be fair, it's really a struggle on my own, but today. Shell was with me, and I'll send you the photos now. But what we're trying to do at the moment is lay the floor back down on the narrowboat. So I think I've spoken about it, God knows how many times, about fetching out all of the bricks and like painting all of the base plates and putting the bricks back on. I think I've still got those 200 bricks to jet wash. I'm going to do that tomorrow. That's our job for tomorrow afternoon. But what I have been doing is all of the bricks, I've just sent you the images now so you can see it. All of the bricks that I've laid down and all of the spaces that we put underneath it, all of the painted base plate, all of that now has been covered with hardboard flooring. So
cool.
You'll see in the first photo, you've got all of the plywood down now. So we've had to coat all of that wood as well that you can see in the photo with a water repellent.
You have to seal it and keep it waterproof.
Yeah, so I've sealed all of those. I've given two coats each, and we've put them all down. Well, I put three down on my own, right? I've got this video of me just struggling on my own with this panel. And the one of the radiators that was still, because the radiators are empty, I've drained most of the heating system. And this particular one was empty. And I was putting in this panel on my own. And as I pushed the pipes up, the radiator come off with the bracket and just slapped down onto the wooden panel and almost knocked me flying. But it was difficult on my own. I managed to do three panels on my own this week. I haven't just done that this week. I've done lots of other stuff this week at the boat. But Shell was there with me today, and we've managed to get five boards down, as well as, you know, prepping all of the areas, make sure it's all level, as level as it can be. There's nothing in the way. Clearing stuff, it's a constant thing of moving stuff. But now we've got a substantial amount of space that's boarded up, and we've got a storage area now, so it's not so difficult to really put anything anywhere. But whereas before, we were literally just balancing stuff on bits of wood across beams and all sorts. But we've got this floor in there, so there's still, I think I've got five boards left to put in the boat. But before that, we've got to jet wash all of the bricks. We've got to lay down all the tile spaces on the base plate, put all the bricks back on, and then measure everything, cut the boards. We've got to put that waterproofing on, and then pop them in. It's hard work, you know. And they're big sheets as well.
Oh,
they're
like
80 plywood sheets. They're big and hefty, and you've got to get those off of a jetty onto a canal boat, and then through a door frame that I've cut up to just about manage a 4-foot gap. And, you know, it's a real struggle.
But that is a lot of work. It is.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, you can see in the photo there, all of those bricks, like I say, I've handballed all of those bricks off and jet washed every single one of them, as well as repainting that base plate at the bottom that you can see that's green with three coats of different things. The work that goes into it is just insane. And when you put all the flooring over it, it's all gone. You don't see any of it. So it's just one of those things. But I know in my mind that is sorted. That's just one job out of the way. And then after that, we can start marketing it out, because we want to order a dinette from the guy who's got a workshop on the boatyard. He'll be able to make that up. But do you know what? Wood's really, really expensive in the UK. I don't know what it's like in the States, but just a laminated sheet of plywood. So you got plywood 18 mil, then it's laminated either side, is around £215 per 8x4 sheet. That's scary, isn't it?
Though? Ouch. Yeah. I don't envy you.
That is in the States, but yeah, it's expensive, super expensive. So I'm going to try and look at alternative methods. I'm going to try and use different. A different hardboard. Maybe we can just look at staying in the hardboard and doing it that way. Because yeah, that is just insane. We cannot afford that. That's just not.
Yeah, that.
I don't know how they're even selling stuff. It's just in. I don't know. Maybe that's why apartment prices and housing prices are so high when they're drawlining all of these flats and new apartments, because everything costs so much. But.
I mean, yeah, definitely there is the construction expense has gone up. I mean, we've seen it over on this side. But also you end up paying a premium for what, you know, specialized things. And the one thing with the narrow boats, I fear for you is that, you know, the narrow boat population, while definitely, you know, it's there. There's a sizable amount of narrowboat owners. It's not something that is necessarily this big booming like industry that, you know, I think, and what I'm trying to get at, like, so, okay, I'll take a full circle back to me. So with my son, he gets AFO shoes. So these are basically, you know, he wears orthotics to help him walk. Yeah. And then he needs shoes to go on the orthotics. And the shoes that go on the orthotics, typically speaking, are not just your normal shoe. They're made a little bit differently. They're sized to be, you know, able to fit over the AFO. And they charge an arm and a leg for those shoes.
Yeah.
Where, like, the counterpart is, you know, like a regular tennis shoe is, you know, like maybe 30, 40 bucks for a kid his age. Not, you know, again, not getting a Nike shoe. But, you know, his AFO shoes will be like double that. And, and the reason for that is because they don't sell that many of them, but there is a demand from a specific audience for it. Therefore, they have to charge a premium. Same thing with, like, his wheelchairs. You know, it's funny because I look at his some of the wheelchair equipment he's had in the past, and it's really no different than some of the strollers you see, especially early on in his life. So, you know, some of the strollers you would see in a normal shop, but they had specialized things for head control and buckles for transportation. And those things, if you just looked at them, you know, ad hoc, you'd think, okay, maybe 50 bucks to add that to a chair. But they charge for these chairs $5,000 to $6,000 because they only sell, you know, one chair to a family like us every, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And so they kind of have to make their money on that one sale. So I feel like that you might run into that a little bit with the narrowboat in that, you know, things that you would think are just going to be rudimentary are going to be a little bit more expensive because it is a little bit more specialized.
Yeah. I mean, in actual fact, that with as far as plywood and construction plywood, that doesn't apply to that specific product.
True.
But it does with other things like leisure batteries. You know, there's only caravans and narrowboats and maybe the odd eco home that needs leisure batteries. So, yeah, to sustain their business, I suppose they've got to charge extra. Plus, you know, to build them, it takes a lot of work. But yeah, I'm totally there with you. It is expensive for some of this stuff. But I'm just going to look at alternatives. I mean, I think to myself, well, how long's this stuff going to last, and how long's it going to last us? We ain't going to have that boat for any more than 10 years, I would have thought, at most.
Right.
So I just think as long as it can last that time, and that's still quite a long time, but as long as it's well built, I'm building a lot of it myself. Oh my God, I have MRIT. That is one thing I'm panicking about, you know. I wouldn't say panicking. It's the one thing that's like the one thing I'm most
nervous about.
And conscious about. It's just getting it right and making sure that it doesn't fail. But so far, you know, this today I took off a couple of heating pipes and water started to spurt out, and that's just a natural thing when you're trying to drain water system. Sometimes you just don't drain it
right,
or it doesn't all go out. But I took this radiator off the wall and some water come out, and the water just went along the floor and trickled along exactly as it's supposed to. It didn't penetrate anywhere. It looked like it was completely holding the water away and not soaking in anywhere. So what the job that I did in sealing the base plate is working, you know, it's good. Doing its job. So it's not, you know, anyway.
No, but I mean, I totally get it though. And on top of it all, Pete, if you think about it, the things that you're working on, it's your future home right now.
Yeah.
So you not only are wanting to do it right, but also to do it well.
Yeah.
And there's a difference because you can do it right. You could have slathered on sealant and just, you know, willy-nilly and just gotten it done. But you're probably also being very, you know, very, you know, what's the right word I'm looking for?
Methodical.
There you go. You know, making sure that, you know, if you're painting something, the lines are straight, that you're not going over the edges, you know, you're. So everything's taking probably twice as long on top of that because you are being methodical, because this is where you're going to be living. You want it to look nice.
And the other thing as well with the YouTube channel I've got now, it's documenting everything that we do. So when we come to actually sell the boat, if we do, if it doesn't sink, we can show them that channel and say, well, you see what we've done to that from, you know,
right.
from conception to completion. Is it's just you can see everything that we've done, and we've not tried to cut any corners. But it's interesting work. I've enjoyed doing it. It's just bloody hard though. I've got tomorrow on the boat, but then on Monday and Tuesday I'm not gonna go to it at all. I've got work all day Monday, and then Tuesday I've got my son, so I'm gonna take him swimming and just do some stuff that's just not boat related. Just get just away fun. From him. But there we go.
All right, so YouTube channel. Let's talk about that real fast. What's the name of the YouTube channel? Let's get you some little props here for those that want to subscribe.
It's called Tiller and Rudder Narrowboat. That's the name of the channel. So it's TILLER and Rudder RUDDER Narrowboat. If you search for that in the search bar, I would imagine our channel will come up then.
Right.
There's only two videos. I should have got one out by today, but when it's coming to like the chance
it'll be there.
Show with me and complete work, you know, it's just like damn.
Now, how many subscribers are you up to?
It's about 510 or something like that now at the minute.
Pete, and you started this what, 2 weeks ago ish?
Yeah,
2 weeks ago. And it took Robin how many months? I'm just
I'm not gonna clap. No,
just kidding. We love Robin.
We didn't get them as much response as we did from our first video,
right?
But I mean, I know Phil pointed out as well earlier in the week. He's like, Pete, you got like 1300 views in 3 days or something like that, but it's only got 1400 now or 1500, and it's plateaued and gone now.
You got to work on your thumbnail game, Pete. You got to work on your thumbnail game. That's the thing about YouTube.
It does help, but my second one is probably a bit too busy, so I'll do another one again. Our next video, I'll spoil it now because not everybody watches it, but I've got the next video is got, I've got a bit of footage, only a small amount of when we hired a boat for the day to try and learn how to operate it, and it just shows you what boat yard we hired that from and gives them a little bit of a name drop as well, because that, you know, that it's a business that needs to hire that boat out as much as possible, and it just helps them along the way. So I got their permission, and I might do the same as what I did with the first video. I might have their boat pictured in a way like I did with ours, and hopefully that will help the thumbnail, but who knows. I'll try as quick as I can to get it anyway.
Now, so speaking of the man card, because that's what your boat work is inspiring. I was out in the yard earlier today staining our fence.
Right. Like with creosote.
Yeah. With a wood stain. I think the company that makes it is called WoodRx. So we're giving it a cedar stain. They're actual redwood planks, but the problem with these, you know, if you don't treat them, they do fade. Yeah. And so we were noticing some of our fence line, which is about a year and a half, probably 2 years old now that I think about it, but, you know, starting to get a little gray as opposed to that really pretty wood color. So I'm...
That's the sun, isn't it, in your country?
Oh, yeah.
You probably do it. Painting that twice a year, to be fair, with the heat that you come across and the sun that it's exposed to. So you was doing that.
Yes. So that was me earlier today. I was out there staining the fence, and I've learned some painful lessons with the stain, because one of the things I actually liked about this company is they send you, you order by the gallon, but they actually put it in a sprayer can. An air pressurized sprayer can. So you kind of pump it up and it'll, you know, put out a spray.
Good on those, yeah.
It makes it a lot faster in some respects, but it also is a little bit wasteful.
Yeah, it's not very even, neither is it.
Yeah, it can be. It definitely can be problematic in that sense. So I had done an initial section when I first got it, to test the color. And one of the things, okay, so a couple of things I did not realize or did not think. This is the important thing. I did not think about paint or stain going through the slats.
Yeah.
Because where I live, I have neighbors on both sides of me.
Uh-huh.
And we love the neighbor to the left of me. Very nice woman. But she calls up and she's like, hey, do you know, did they spray for bugs or something recently? And she's like, or did you guys stain your fence? And I'm like, oh shit, what did I hit? And the stain basically went through the fence line onto one of her storage bins. And she's like, I don't care. She's like, it's fine. She's like, I just was really curious as what it was. But then it got me thinking, okay, crap. I need to be a little extra careful about when I'm spraying this. So now I've come up with a better way of doing it, but also tends to be a little more use heavy, is I spray at angles towards the fence as opposed to directly head on. So this way it won't go through the slats. It's just hitting the surface of the fence. But I'm also using a brush for the top of the fence now, because when you're at the very top, we have what they call the good neighbor fence, which, you know, kind of think of it like a picket fence. So when you try to spray the top of the picket fence, it's just shooting over the top of it. And
yeah,
so, yeah. I'm trying to avoid that. But yeah, so that is my project for the weekend. I still have a bunch more to do, but I got the intricate work done. The gates and the front of the house is done. And now I'm just working on the backside. Also, more man card stuff. Earlier in the week, my wife comes back home after work. And she's like, I don't know what happened, but my air conditioning just completely stopped working. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, I'm thinking I might be out of coolant. And I'm like, well, is the car running hot? She's like, no, the car seems to be fine temperature-wise in terms of the engine. I'm like, well, that's probably not the coolant then. Because, you know, if the coolant was out of the car, or, you know, you'd know. Your car's going to overheat. Yeah. But we bought coolant. We've, you know, filled it up. We topped it off basically at the end of the day because it was a little bit low, but not too bad. And her car, for background sake, had been sitting at her mom's house for about a month and a half. We were trying to give the car to her mom because her car currently is out of order, but she wanted nothing to do with it. She didn't want to take a car from us. And so ultimately we brought the car back home. And so anyway, fast forwarding, AC stopped working and I'm like, okay. So once again, YouTube became my friend. I love YouTube for DIY home fixes, also for car fixes. And so I'm looking up on YouTube and I'm like, okay, what can I find that AC stopped working? You know, I'm doing all these random searches. And
is it gas pressure related?
No. What it turned out was, at first we were actually very convinced it was the condenser on the car had gone bad, which does happen with these vehicles. But out of the blue, I randomly found this one video. It says, before you change your condenser, check this.
Try this.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, let me see it. And it was check the fuses. And I never think fuses in the car. Sure as shit, I pulled the fuse, and the first one I pulled, it snapped. And so just replaced it with there was replacement fuses right there in the box for it too, which was nice. Popped in the new 10 fuse, worked like a charm. And so,
nice.
Yeah. So that made me quite happy because we were getting ready to basically say, let's take it to the shop. And the shop's going to charge us $150 just to diagnose the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
just get this computer on it.
Oh yeah, and that would have made me like more angry. I shouldn't say that. It wouldn't have made me more angry, but I will never forget early when we bought this house, and this is why I have now become a fan of YouTube for my DIY stuff. We get home, and I notice like half the outlets in the front of the house are just out, not working, not functioning at all. And I had never owned a home prior to this. I lived in a condo. That was, you know, the extent of my, home ownership, so to speak. And so I'm just like, shit. I'm like checking the circuit breakers. The circuit breakers are all fine. I don't know what else to do. So we had a home warranty that came with the house, and it was like a $75 deductible for, you know, them to come out. But anything they do was covered. So I, you know, enact the home warranty. Guy comes out. He's like, okay. He's like, well, you know, let me look around. What's the problem? He's like, where's your circuit breaker panel? He's like, okay. He's like, well, that obviously is not it. He comes back into the garage. He's like, wait. He's like, do you have any GFI plugs? And I'm like, GFI plugs. And he's like, the ones that have the little reset buttons on them. And I'm like, yeah, we've got two here and one back in the, you know, back side of the house. He's like, oh, let me see. And he just pushes in the button. Everything starts working. And I'm like, motherfucker. And of course, he's like, I have to charge you the 75 because we came out. He's like, but at least you don't have to spend any more. And I'm like, I literally just paid $75 for a guy to walk in my garage and push a button.
It's such a nothing, doesn't it? It's
So at that point, then I learned very quickly before you call for the service people, just go on YouTube. It literally has become my work guide.
I think the only thing I'd say is if as long as there's no you know, regulations that you're going to be breaching by messing with any of the stuff like gas or electric, and you need qualified people to look at it, then, you know, I understand that, but you need other people to look at it then. But simple stuff like DIY painting or sanding or replacing a partition or whatever, you should totally do that through YouTube. It's like, it's the done deal, isn't it? You just got to do it.
Hey, Pete.
Have a crack at it.
Pete, I don't want to scare you right now.
Okay.
But you do have a lion over your shoulder.
Oh, yeah. It's Lion Day today.
Yeah.
I don't know where. So I'm going to say the entire world. Everybody should be wearing lion stuff. I've not got a lion tattooed on me, so I can't even rep it that way. So at least it's in the background for me.
Is this Lion Day? Is it legitimately Lion Day, or is this Lioness Day because your ladies are vying for the World Cup?
No, this is actual Lion Day. It's official.
Okay.
I didn't know it was a thing.
But all right, so celebrate Lion Day. Go out and kill a lion.
It does rep the lionesses, I suppose. That they won, didn't they, today?
I don't know who they played today.
Yesterday, wherever they are.
I think they play Australia next. Which is funny, because you're literally playing the people you kicked out of your country as criminals.
Just teach them another lesson. That's what we're
exactly. Teach those thugs a lesson. All right, Pete. In terms of selling stuff, are you still doing the Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah, and eBay. Yeah.
All right.
I was a bit worried though. When was it? It was earlier this week, I think it was. I sent an Xbox to Mark.
Right.
And he texted me. He's like, have you got a tracking ID for this? And I was like, yeah, I just need to find the receipt. So it was in the car. And I sent him the tracking ID. He was like, oh, no, this is just for, it's just like a first class sign for. It's not a tracking ID. And I was thinking, oh, man. Is this going to end up in a warehouse where some dude's just ripped open a bit of the package and gone, oh, there's an Xbox in here, and it's not a fully tracked parcel, so we can just like take it away and like, you know, whatever. And I just thought, oh, he's not going to get the parcel. And it was about 3 days late, but he texted me this week and he was like, I've got the parcel, it's fine, it's okay.
I'm shocked he didn't go out and buy a new console because it was 3 days late. You got to be careful with Mark. He will, he'll pull the trigger quickly when he panics a little bit. Just kidding, Mark. Well, we love you.
He held on in there. That's it. That's the right way of saying it. And he texts me and says, Jenny's said it's there. It's there. It's fine. So I think he's quite impressed with it. Apart from one menu feature that he was struggling with. I don't know what that is. I'm not too sure, but. He said he's happy with that Xbox. So
The Series S, it's amazingly beasty for such a small box.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, it gets super hot. Like it gets red hot. It works itself to death, I think. But It's good, man. It's a workhorse. I've been selling bits and bobs. I've still got lots more to sell. We've got a house full of stuff to sell. So if anybody wants anything, just phone me and I can try and send you some stuff.
Well, we actually are selling stuff too. We have my brother-in-law, rest his soul, his drum set. Cindy brought it up. So we're now trying to sell that. It's kind of insane because it's a proper, it's a 7-piece drum kit. It's got all the stands, everything. I had to set it up using pictures because I had no clue, just so I could take pictures of it set up and then put on Facebook. But I have a feeling Facebook is not going to be the place to try and sell this.
No.
Unless we find that perfect person. But
when you talk to people after telling them something, right? I'm going to tell you that I'm self-taught on drums. And obviously, I know how to set a kit up. So if you'd have contacted me, I could have told you. Oh.
Well, do you want to buy a drum set? You could put it on top of your boat as I knock my microphone. Imagine just going down the narrows, playing your drums. That would be actually pretty ace.
Yeah, if it was in the same country, that would probably be something that we should have talked about. But what kit is it? What's the brand?
Oh, now you're going to test me. I can tell you. I can tell you. So I have it right here, as a matter of fact.
DW Drums, Orange County.
He's got DW stands. I know that.
Oh, okay. Ludwig.
Where's my listings?
Yeah, what's the premier ones?
All right, so it is Yeah, they never let you actually see your listing. Okay. It is it's the emerald green fading into black. It's a Pacific MX series drum kit, but then he also has a Bill Bruford snare drum, which is a limited series snare drum. It's like his number 21, which was kind of crazy.
All right, okay.
And then he has
cymbals, Zildjian,
the DPD cymbals.
DPD.
I'm not familiar.
Oh yes.
But this was his backup drum set. He actually had another drum set. So, yeah, crazy.
Oh. I don't know. You might get some good offers on Facebook. You never know. But I always find on Facebook Marketplace, they tend to just like, they want everything for nothing.
Oh, yeah, God, yeah. Like
crazy message in the middle of the night and go, is this still available? I'll give you 20 quid for it.
Probably one of the funniest exchanges actually happened. I love my wife for this. So she listed a rolling cart that was just a white rolling cart, pretty much brand new. She listed it for $40. It normally went for $75, I think. She put it up for 40, and she gets this message from this gal saying, would you take 25? And she's like, no. She's like, I thought my offer was more than fair at 40. The gal ended up buying the rolling cart for 40, but it was pretty funny because it was just like, no, this is not, let's make a deal. I know people think of them that way, but it's not. All right. So, going on, Bongo, there he is. Look at him watching us on YouTube. We love you, Bongo. I did kill the swoosh. Although we're not really going to be doing any transitions for the most part. Quick thing. I've been watching Justified City Primeval. So Justified is a TV series with Timothy Oliphant. It was on a few years back. Really, really good. He's come back. They've renewed. I highly recommend this, Pete. If you haven't seen it, go try and find Justified. Yeah, it's really good. And
what's the premise?
He is a U.S. Marshal.
Okay.
He is a U.S. Marshal, and I'm trying to remember the city he comes from, but he comes from this kind of backwater town, and he was trying to escape it, basically. You know, he wanted to leave for the longest time, and his job brings him back to the town. That's the premise of the first couple seasons, I should say, of Justified. And then City Primeval is him still in the role, but he is now in Detroit, Michigan. And so just a different locale. But this latest version is much more adult. The swearing is quite liberal in it compared to what it used to be in the previous series. So enjoying it though, and I highly recommend it. I have been listening to Audible. My Audible books firing up again, and I just finished the Galaxy's Edge book 4. I think there's 6 books in this series so far. I really like Galaxy's Edge. It's very Star Wars like in the overall premise, and I won't spoil it for anybody that wants to listen to the book. But it's great. It's got a great cast of characters. It has one of my favorite narrators, R.C. Bray, is doing the narration of it, and it is just an epic space soap opera. And that's the best way to, I mean, and that's Star Wars to a T, and that's what this is. So
nice. I can't see any of that chat in Twitch. It just says like the user's been blocked or something.
Oh no, yeah, no. So I see Robin talking about he kicks butt in a Stetson. Yes, he does wear a Stetson. Justified, of course, is what he's talking about. Greg, sort the camera out. You look like a Chad. What a dickhead. All right. Let's transition to talk about some video games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right. I don't even know if you've played any games.
No.
Okay. So this is going to be a very quick discussion, because all I've been playing is Diablo 4. I've been doing my damnedest to get through this game.
You've been playing this for ages now, haven't you?
Well, it's a long game. It is a long game, and it's especially long when you're starting and stopping all the time. I just got into Act 6, which is the final act of the main story. I will say, Act 5 had a lot of the missions where it was go here, talk to the person, leave, go here, talk to the person. There wasn't even really boss battles or anything happening. It was just a lot of back and forth getting the story moving along. I've leveled my character up so much prior to really focusing on the story. It kind of detracts from the challenge of the game, because I am fearful of nothing at this point. And it's because the game kind of level caps out, the main storyline level caps out around 50. But my character, because I've gone past level 50, and you can kind of get, I'm trying to remember the term for it, but additional perks that are not necessarily leveling you up, but they're giving you more powers. And so...
It is just making it OP, overpowered.
Pretty much. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that at this point, because I'm like, okay, get me to the end of the story. I want to see it. I'm ready. I'm good.
Yeah. So is there cutscenes as you go through the game, or is it?
There are, and the cutscenes vary. It's kind of interesting. So sometimes there are CGI really well done cutscenes, like you see in trailers for games. Mm. Other times the cutscenes are kind of in game cutscenes, where, you know, it's just in-game assets, so they're not as high quality. And then there's other times where they have, I'll call them cutscenes, but really it's just your character, you know, they stop the action and you're in a forced conversation that you're moving forward with dialogue choices.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, it's just in-game.
Okay.
So, Paragon points. Yes, Kim, thank you for that. Paragon points, Pete. That's what I'm getting Paragon points.
Paragon points.
Paragon points. And also, if you happen to do other challenges, that kind of thing, sometimes they will unlock additional skill points. Because once you hit 50, you technically can't earn any more skill points. But you can earn additional skill points through some challenges and things like that in-game. Anyway, it's going good. I'm ready to finish the game. Probably will finish it up tonight after I watch my preseason football, because football's back. Anyway, so that's it. I mean, I did some PUBG with Mark yesterday. It was Mark J and I. We played PUBG. We got our asses handed to us.
Oh, well, that's okay then. He texted me, Mark, did he? Was like, oh, do you fancy playing some PUBG? And I was like, I fell asleep on the settee about 8:30. I was like,
We could have used you. We could have used you because
you probably
a couple times it was we literally were surrounded, you know, getting surrounded, just outnumbered. but it was kind of funny because we played so every time you play PUBG, you can play three kind of warm-up matches where you're playing mostly against bots. There's a few, you know, human players in there, but it's primarily bot players. And it gives you an air of overconfidence because the bot players are not terribly challenging and you kind of wipe the floor with them. And then you get down to the very end and it becomes a little tactical and sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. But you still feel like, oh, we did really well because we got to the final circle and we're right there. And then you get into the live matches where everybody's a real player and boy, does it change. Very, very different. Also, a lot of that game has changed. It is way more complicated from not so much the gameplay. The gameplay is still, to me, very straightforward. They have a lot of new toys and stuff and gadgets you can do, like drones, which turns out drones are actually really useful, especially in team play. Because whenever we play with Snoogans, he loves to use the drone and he'll just go hide somewhere, throw the drone out, and then he's just marking players for us. And so we know where they're at. The actual in-game menu, all of the stuff you earn, the experience and the G-coins and the battle points, that stuff, and there's keys to unlock chests. It's like I have no clue what the hell's going on there.
I felt like it was going that way when I started to see all of the battles. Is it battle passes or the game that... There's like a pass, isn't there, that you can buy. It's a little bit like Fortnite and the chests and stuff. I just felt like it was getting a little bit more like Fortnite, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've got to change it.
The core game is still there, and that's the good part. It's just it kind of all the earning stuff, it feels very like you can craft in the game now. And it's not crafting in-game. It's crafting in the menus to create stuff that you can use or have, but I could not care less.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, that's it for games. Robin, get some good rest, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your time in Italy. Go do something very Italian, like bowling. all right.
Let's pizza on your head.
Yeah, Pete. I think we should talk about some news. If I can finagle myself to the news.
Here is the fucking news.
I believe the sound effects are all working. That's the only good news I can give you. I hear them. I know you can't hear them. I don't. And that's fine. This is for the audience. The audience needs to hear the sound effects. So hopefully...
Well,
Yeah,
they also need to hear this confirmed news, don't they? More importantly, this really grabbed me. This did. This year's Call of Duty is Modern Warfare 3. I'm excited about that. Like, I really loved Modern Warfare 2. I loved it.
Yeah.
This is going to tempt me to like buy it that one, I think.
All right, well, let's cover the news in proper. So, Pete, get your excitement levels up. November 10th, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 will be coming out. Sledgehammer Games, the studio behind the 2017 World at War 2, and the 2014, my favorite, honestly, Advanced Warfare. So Sledgehammer is the one behind this. They basically confirmed it after a bunch of leaks were starting to come out about the game. So
see that on YouTube. I watched like YouTube shorts and stuff and I never even noticed any of these leaks. But
I still will call it Twitter. The X platform Twitter.
Right.
Although I have to laugh, just a side note, Elon Musk loves, I think he just loves trolling people about the Twitter name. And so he's been putting out logos. He's like, what do you think of this logo? And it was the new X symbol with a bunch of feathers in and around behind it, like in the air and fluttering about. And it just reminded me, God, probably 20 years back, there's a famous baseball game that happened where the pitcher goes to throw the ball. And right as he throws the ball, he destroys a pigeon. Yeah. And you just see a puff of feathers. Yeah. And in theory, that's what Elon Musk has done to Twitter.
I think that's what, isn't that what he's alluding to? Like an X. So the crosshairs and, yeah, loads of feathers around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
But anyway, Pete, hey, exciting news. Even more exciting news for you.
I know.
You get the beta. As that will come, because you have decided to keep your PlayStation 5, the Modern Warfare 3 beta will come first to the PlayStation consoles. This was teased out in a trailer that appeared on the PlayStation YouTube channel. I guess it was in Arabic, ironically. But this is kind of a known thing. PlayStation still has their marketing deal with Activision for Call of Duty. That is not changing, even if Microsoft does purchase Activision, which we do anticipate that will be happening. I think it's actually going to happen, if I'm honest, in the next 2 weeks. And I wouldn't be surprised if Gamescom, we get the official announcement because of just the timing with the CMA and kind of they're the linchpin at this point.
So the beta will just be a weekend, won't it? I would have thought.
I would think so. It might be a week long thing. They might do a beta for a week, but
I'm trying to think of the last one. I'm sure it's. Well, I'm saying that Modern Warfare. I'm trying to think of that beta. I'm sure it's about. I'm sure it's a weekend, like Friday. Yeah.
I think they did
Thursday,
like two
Sunday or whatever.
Yeah, I think they had the PlayStation exclusive beta that rolled out, and then they did a second follow-up beta for the Xbox platform, but they still rolled it back out for PlayStation as well. So either way, it's coming November 10th. Also coming this year, or potentially I should say coming this year, looks like Stalker 2 could see a release date this year. And this is was spotted by a contributor on Video Games Chronicle. They basically noticed that there was a distributor, was it Plyon? I'm not familiar with the name, but they updated their listing for Stalker 2 with a release date of December 1st, which normally when they do placeholder dates, it's always December 31st. And this is December 1st, and that's significant because that is a Friday, so that does feel legitimate at this point. And we know that Stalker 2 is going to be playable for the first time at this month's Gamescom show in Germany. So really makes me feel like this is pretty close to coming out. All right, are you excited for Stalker 2, or are you indifferent?
Don't know anything about it. I'm really sorry.
No. It's okay. I encourage you, go check out the trailer for it. Just look up YouTube Stalker 2. I think you will be pleasantly surprised by what you see. We always talk about acquisitions. I know you love talking about acquisitions, Pete. It's one of your favorite things to talk about.
Yeah, love it.
Pete, Rockstar acquired the GTA 5 role-playing dev CFX.RE, which, what the hell is that name? I don't even understand that. But they made this announcement. Today, we are proud to announce that CFX.RE, the team behind the biggest Rockstar role play and creator communities, 5M and Red M, which I believe Mark was playing for the longest time, are officially now part of Rockstar Games. The company put this up on their website. Over the past few years, we've watched with excitement as Rockstar creative community has found new ways to expand the possibilities of Grand Theft Auto 5 and Red Dead Redemption 2, particularly through the creation of dedicated role play servers. So Mark, for the longest time, was, I think, playing a dog, and then he played as a mechanic. Okay, he didn't really play as a dog. I think he was a dog catcher.
I remember the mechanic one. Yeah.
A lot of people got into this. This was mostly on the PC side, mind you, but it was playing Grand Theft Auto, you literally had a career. You played it and you had to play it right. So if you were a cop, you issued tickets. You acted like a cop. You could be a mechanic where you went and fixed vehicles. And that was actually a job that Mark did. I don't know why he picked that, because that's what he does in real life, which made no sense to me, because it was like you're just doing your actual job now 24/7. But he loved it. He really enjoyed the interaction of the role-playing community. So I think this is encouraging. It also makes me feel like GTA 6 is absolutely going to embrace this stuff once it launches. Would you be into playing a true role play?
No, not particularly. No, I play the game for what it is, to enhance it or to spread the thing wider and to go into different realms of the game.
Pete, come on. What if I told you could be a narrowboat captain in GTA 5?
No, I'm not going to have the story behind it, am I really? It's not going to be, no.
I'll play
those games. I like the role-playing games for the story as well. Right. You invest into the character, don't you? And you just get completely sunk into the story and just feel emotionally attached to them. And when something bad happens to them, or if they do something bad and you don't want that to happen, it's just like, oh my God, it really textured, doesn't it? And but things like that, it's like Gary's Mod and adding all the different different modifications. It just ain't my thing. It's not, yeah.
This maybe is of comfort. I'm the same way. I don't think I would have the patience for the dedication of that.
A parking ticket. Imagine that. That'd bore the shit out of me. That would absolutely bore the shit out of me.
I mean, it would be fun for about 5 minutes. And that's why I bought Police Simulator, the game, for about five, 10 minutes.
I was just going to say Goat Simulator, like racing around and doing all different like acrobats for what the goat could do, which is completely impossible. They don't do things like that apart from doing a lot of like high climbing. I found it funny. And then after that, I burnt out after about an hour. I just thought it's just rinse and repeat doing absolutely stupid shit. So I suppose you could say that for a lot of video games, couldn't you really?
But that
is really stupid. There's no story to it, is there, or anything? No great dialogue. So,
All right, last news story. Pete, Sony says the UK is weak because of their reaction to the price drop.
Do you know what I'll blame? The increase in price of wood and laminated plywood.
During a recent financial call, the Sony COO, Hiroki Totoki, I believe that is the correct pronunciation, basically said by regions, currently in Japan, the sales are strong, and the same holds true for Asia. In North America, the response to the promotion has been quite favorable. In the United Kingdom, it's a bit weak.
I'm on the side of the canal, right? And I'm talking to all these boaters, and they're like, do you know what? I'd really love to buy a PlayStation. And the only reason I can't is because I've got to keep like spending all the money I got on all of the wood that I need to fit out one bathroom on my boat. So that's what every narrowboat in the country says. And there's loads of them. And that's why they've dropped. So do us a favor.
Yeah. Here we go. Then this is the next promotion. Sony, if you're hearing this, offer up a PlayStation 5 with a free piece of laminated plywood.
Or 10.
Yeah. Just to wrap up this story, basically, the PS5 hardware sales were 3.3 million units for the first quarter, which was a significant increase of 38% year on year. But again, the UK was weak.
I know, but that's still a lot, though, isn't it?
It is. They're selling well. They have fixed their supply chain issues. They also did a slight, you know, this price reduction came at a perfect time. They're going gangbusters. I think Sony's doing
just
fine.
Doing that and talking about PS6s, like, it's, don't you think it's a bit too late? It's about 2 years down the line and they've sorted out their issues. That's like GTA Online. That's what really pissed me off about that, right?
Well,
when they first released that game, I was so excited and I really wanted to play online, which come out however many weeks or months later it was, and I was like so hyped up about that, and then all of a sudden it flopped and it never worked for absolutely ages. And I know that it's brought in a huge amount of revenue for the game over the years, but I was out from the get go. If it doesn't work when you say it's gonna work, go back to it, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, you know, just talking about the whole PlayStation 6 thing, I don't think you have to worry. I mean, look, PlayStation 6, they're saying 28/28. That's what, but the mid-gen refresh is what is the latest rumor, and that would be a 2024, 2025 probably time frame.
Yeah, like a slim model.
Think the slim comes before the mid-gen. That's my...
Is it?
I think so. I think you can reduce the size of the box first, and then they'll like... Small boxes are good, Pete. Small boxes
Mine's really small. It's got a whole 6-foot shelf balance holding it up. Man, it's
got its own room, but it's tiny. But I think they come out with a redesign, smaller unit, and then I would love to see them actually keep that small form factor, kind of like what Xbox did with the Series. Well, the Xbox S and then the One X. The S was small, and then the One X actually maintained that kind of small form factor.
Yeah.
So.
It did, yeah. But, well, you needed steel to hold that up. You can't have a wooden shelf. Like that weighed, that weighed probably heavier than my boat.
You know, a small, dense box, Pete, is good. You don't want a big, open, airy box. That's bad.
I took my Xbox One X because I sold that on eBay as well. I took it to the post office and he was like, fuck that, mate. We ain't posting that. We ain't got a truck big enough to carry that thing. Don't forget it then. Forget it. Can't take the weight.
All right. I was going to potentially talk about Gamescom, but we'll hold that conversation off for another week. We're still a couple weeks out. If you are wondering, Gamescom just around the corner, August 23rd and 27th, to the 27th. I don't know if we're going to see big announcements at all or not. I don't think we're going to. I think it's going to be a pretty straightforward, like, hey, here's everything we already showed you once. We're going to show it to you again. And maybe a couple little, you know, surprises here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the face I have, right? Your face and expression encapsulated my feeling perfectly. All right, Pete.
New releases.
Yeah, let's talk about some new releases.
So the new releases between August 13th and 19th, Everspace 2, which is coming out on the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S. It's out on August 15th. Also out on the 15th is Hammerwatch 2 on the PC. And again on the 15th of August, Moving Out 2. It's just like another simulator of just like moving all your stuff out of the house.
Get out!
So that's on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and the Switch. So all platforms. Again, on the 15th, Wayfinder. And that's on the PlayStation 5 and 4, PC. Red Dead Redemption.
Yes, is the original.
On the PlayStation 4 and on the Switch, August 17th. What? Yeah.
Well, they remastered it. They've remastered it, so it'll be in 4K. Coming to the PlayStation 4, because it never came out to the PlayStation 4. An updated version, I should say.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Well, to add to that, Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare is also out on August 17th on the PlayStation 4 and Switch. Shadow Gambit, The Cursed Crew, is out on August 17th on on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S and PC. Vampire Survivors, which is out on Switch on August 17th. Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, which is out on the Switch and PC on August 18th.
By the way, for Robin, you know, the Vampire Survivors now on the Switch, you know, he basically took his vacation a little too early. He could have had the actual good game. He tried to, like, pawn off this Vampire Survivors clone as being a better game. We see past you, Robin. We see through you. Continue on, Pete.
Madden NFL 24.
Yeah!
It goes on all the platforms as usual. August 18th. And the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is out on every platform as well, pretty much from August 18th as well. And that's all of the games over the next week that are coming out.
Well, that's kind of... Oh, hello, we don't need that music. Keep going. That's kind of groovy. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Did you ever get into those movies? Do you like horror?
I liked horror movies. I like the old 1980s, 70s, 80s, and some of the 90s horror movies I enjoyed. But I don't know. They're kind of
they don't hold up.
They aren't CGI and whatever. It's crazy, isn't it? What they do now on horror films, and it just looks it's just so unrealistic. I just don't like it. I like the raw. I prefer the music and the raw edits and the I suppose they're really corny, aren't they? The old horror films.
Oh god, they're really so bad, Pete.
And they don't hold up. They don't now, but then watching it when none of that ever come about, it was scary as hell. I mean, like X-rated movies for my dad when he was younger was like. A man and woman kissing, and that was it. You know, if somebody got like stabbed with a knife, which you'd never really seen,
right?
From a real like strange view where you just see the murder happen, and no blood or anything, and it was just like, oh my god, that's like the worst movie that's out. You know, it's the most horrific movie that you could see. But compared to like the 70s, 80s, you know, it really kicked up, didn't it? With Jason Voorhees and Freddy, Michael Myers. There's a crazy, even Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Basket Case, The Hills of Eyes, Poltergeist. There were some great movies, I thought, in that time. Now,
well, they're cult classics. I'll give them that. But I have had the unfortunate pleasure of rewatching some of those types of movies. And the as you pointed out, they don't hold up from a story acting point. There's still the jump scares, the kind of the evilness to it, I think, does still kind of hold up. But they never had like the quality acting. So like I just watched the movie Jaws. Now, the movie Jaws, when you start to look at Jaws, the shark, it's not terribly realistic. It you know, outside of the fin in the water, everything else about those movies, when you suddenly see the shark and they're using the mechanical shark that they did, it just looks so bad. But that movie is a gem because the acting in that movie was fantastic. So I would say that's a difference between a movie like that, which was technically a horror movie, compared to like the, you know, Freddy Krueger and you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, the acting in those movies was not great. So
no, but they were I don't think they had massive budgets, did they? I don't know. Somebody might tell me wrong, and they might have had massive budgets for the time, but I don't think they did.
Yeah.
I don't know. They all found them scary, but. I suppose watching them at 13 years old didn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Pete, the line is sneaking up on you, according to Kim. Interesting side note on the whole acting thing. The Screen Actor Guild, contract situation is still a problem. They're still on strike. We're going to now start to see a, you know, kind of like what happened with COVID, where there's just not a lot of movies being made. There's not a lot of content, shows, TV shows, movies. We're going to see start seeing a lot of reruns. I wonder if we'll get re-releases in the movie theaters. I mean, it's getting kind of dire at this point. They've been on strike long enough. It's going to have a ripple effect. And I feel bad, honestly.
Something else could happen, though. People could just revert just to watching more YouTube or doing something else and just not even bother about movies.
Well, but cinemas as well. Is it going to impact our video games? Because the voice actors are all part of the SAG. So,
but are they under the same?
I don't know.
Under the same struggles, because they say it's pay, it's working conditions. I mean, do they? Well, I know some video games in the past were said to be treating their staff unfairly and whatever, but I don't know. Is that the case now? I really don't know.
Yeah. I feel bad for all of the support crews and people that work on the shows, because they're out of jobs right now and you know, they're not on strike.
No.
So, oh, well. All right. Pete, we've talked way longer than either one of us thought we were going to talk.
Yeah. Half hour show, we said.
Yeah. We were like 20 minute stops. We'll be done. And here we are, hour 20 minutes ish. So, Pete.
We spent 45 minutes just talking about our own lives.
I think that's fair.
I think that's what happens now.
Yeah.
We spent more time talking about that, but there we go.
It is how it goes.
We do appreciate the sport still. We love it.
We do. Pete, give me some shout-outs.
I'm going to shout-out Snoogans. And Rob VTS, isn't it? He likes to also be known as. But yeah, Rob and Lord, I noticed they followed me on my YouTube channel. I've just seen it pop up, so I don't know if any others are following me, but thanks for the support. And yeah, it's just, I'm surprised that it's done as well as it has in a small amount of time. But thanks to those two, because I've seen their names pop up. And that's pretty much about it for me,
all right, Greg. Okay. I'm going to shout out Lord. He's been in our WhatsApp chat. He's active within the community. Cheers to him. Fuck that Snoogans guy. He did not play PUBG on Friday night because Man City was having a match. And honestly, come on. They're going to suck this year.
For Man City. Yeah. He'd drop anybody for him.
Oh, my God. Him, yeah. Absolutely. Good thing, you know, if his mother's life depended upon it, he'd probably be like, sorry, Mom, Man City's playing. Can't help you get to the hospital. No, I love Rob. Just kidding, Rob. I will shout out Kim. I will shout out Robin. Both of them jumped into our chat because we were doing the early show. Robin was drunk off his ass, apparently. He is going to snore and do some Italian things in his sleep. Kim likely also drunk just because that's what they do in the Midwest. Kidding, Kim. We love you. Kim, I think she was at a birthday party. Maybe I'm confusing what trips she was on, but she went somewhere. I think it was a birthday party. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't remember.
I think the reality is she just stayed at home and she's been playing video games. She just didn't want to be on the show. So she's like, I'm traveling somewhere. I can't. I'm too. So yeah. Like that special effect? Huh? Huh? I could do more. Okay. That's it. We're done. We're going to get out of here. I'm going to play some outro music. And when I say done, we'll be done.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.